Hi, James. This is Jonathan Helmke here again.
All right, sir.
Okay. Well, thank you again for taking time to do this. And so we're going to start the interview now. And the first question I have here is, can you please spell your name and spell it out, please?
Sure. First name is James, J-A-M-E-S. Last name is Riddick, spelled R-I-D-D-I-C-K.
Thank you. This is Jonathan Helmke. I'm the University Archivist at the University of Dubuque. Today is February the 27th, 2015 at 1:36 p.m. Central Time, 2:36 Eastern Time. James, could you please tell us what year did you graduate from the university?
Sure. I graduated in May of 1991.
Okay, thank you. And before we kind of begin into the UD piece a little bit, could you tell me just a little bit of background about your hometown before you came to UD?
Well, I moved around quite a bit. I was born in a small town called Belhaven, North Carolina. It was a farming community. I remained there with my grandparents for a couple of years prior to moving to Newark, New Jersey, with my mother, and stayed there for a couple of years, sir, and thereafter I moved to Atlanta, Georgia, went to high school there, and from there I graduated and moved on to the University of Dubuque.
Okay. In terms of your grade schools and high schools, in terms of race integration, were they integrated in terms of?
Yes.
Okay. And in terms of, you said you kind of moved around a little bit here. And so how did you hear of the University of Dubuque? What was your journey here to?
My godfather, Alex Nitas, who also graduated from the university, my God, years and years past. I believe he and Barbara Smeltzer weren't that far apart when they both graduated. But he taught me while I was at Russell High School, which was located in East Point, Georgia.
Okay.
And he recommended that I attend the university. I was permitted entrance into the West Point Prep School.
Okay.
Also North Georgia Military College,
uh-huh.
And also Campbell University in North Carolina, and the University of Dubuque. But he recommended, and well, he told me that it would be an honor to him if I were to attend the university, and then that's what I did.
Okay, so he was a teacher of yours?
Yes, he was.
What subject did he teach?
He taught political science and history.
Okay. For that too. And this was in Georgia, right? You said?
Yes, East Point, Georgia.
Okay. And so he recommended that. And then did you ever visit the university before you came, started school?
No.
Again?
No, not really. Not really. I mean, it took me 25 hours on a Greyhound bus coming from Atlanta to University of Dubuque. And once I got to the university, a gentleman by the name of David Warnslot. He was, I think his position was located within student services.
Okay.
If I'm not mistaken. But he and one of his colleagues picked me up at the bus stop. And they transported me from that location to the University of Dubuque. I retook my SAT. Actually, it was the ACT.
Uh-huh.
Exam prior to formal entrance, and as soon as I took that and they evaluated my score,
mm-hmm.
They allowed me to go to 115 Cassett Hall, and that was my first room at the university.
Okay, and so what was your initial major in the university?
Well, initially my major was philosophy.
Okay.
Under an outstanding guy by the name of William Blair Gould, who recently passed approximately 6 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
But I changed that from philosophy to sociology and literature. with a minor in military science.
Okay. Were you part of the ROTC program then?
I was.
Okay. And you stayed through that for the whole 4 years then?
Yes.
Okay.
I was also an S&P cadet during the same time. Well, up until my final year in ROTC. And what that is it's a program that allows you to be involved with the Reserve Officer Training Corps and also serve as a National Guardsman.
Okay. So you did that for those 4 years too then?
Only for three.
All three, okay. For that too. Kind of going back to the Cassett Hall, during that time, how many students roughly were African American at that time when you came?
To be honest with you, I can't really recall. Let's say around 20.
Around 20, okay. For that too. And so, in terms of, we'll kind of do academics here first. You said you first did, philosophy, then you kind of changed into sociology there. What was your academic experience was here?
It was pretty good. I was on the dean's list for every semester I was there. I don't have anything negative to say about the university. It, to be honest with you, one of the best things that ever happened to me. And I reminisce on those days periodically.
Mm-hmm. Good. And so, basically, with the now in terms of academics, was there a favorite faculty member that kind of stuck with you?
It was none of that. It was me putting my nose to the grindstone because I expected a set standard for myself.
Yeah.
Right. So don't get me wrong. All the professors were outstanding, and I respect them all, and I was close to them all.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of applying myself, it was me doing that.
Yeah.
Because I had to.
Yeah. Yeah, I understand that. And so was there kind of a favorite faculty member, or was there some that really impacted you?
Well, if I were to just to single out one, then I'll be doing the others a big injustice.
Okay? That makes sense, yeah.
Because I tell you, you can't and you will never find a faculty like there was back then.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They cared about all the students. Color be damned.
Yeah.
It was a humanity type effort.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot of love that went around there to do the right thing.
Yeah.
Okay. To do the right thing. So there was no single person who made my day.
Mm-hmm.
My day was made just by being there and having the opportunity to achieve there.
Good. So in terms of, we'll kind of switch to the social piece a little bit here. Were there any activities that you participated in other than the academic piece, or was there something?
A couple of things. Student government president.
Okay.
An RA during the same time.
Okay.
Big brother, little brother sponsorship program within the community.
Yeah.
I've already mentioned that I was an S&P cadet, had a part-time job, and one of those jobs was in the library.
Yeah.
Okay. So, plus the ROTC Color Guard.
Okay, yeah.
Event. Also the ROTC Ranger team, and we competed nationally with the university. Well, we fell under the University of Wisconsin-Platteville during that time.
Okay, okay.
It wasn't a host institution during that time. So, to be honest with you, I think my day was pretty much filled.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
Yeah.
How many students were in the ROTC at that time?
My God. I want to say maybe 20.
Okay.
And I'm sticking to this 20 thing because it's a good, solid number.
Yeah, yeah.
But I will tell you that I think five of us graduated in 1991.
Okay.
I believe it was five of us who graduated. Maybe less, but, I mean, those names are probably on the door of,
oh, yeah,
of Blaze Hall, I think. But, mm-hmm. I mean, it's easy to kind of look up and,
yeah,
you know, and verify.
In terms of ethnicity, was it pretty balanced within the ROTC?
Forgive me, what was the question?
In terms of race, was the ROTC pretty balanced, or was it, were the only one, or was it?
No, I was, I was out of two. It was another gentleman by the name of James Pless.
Okay.
Who was in the program. It was two of us.
Okay. For that two. What made you decide to go into the military?
A vocation.
Vocation?
Vocation, yeah.
Okay. In terms service, of...
service the country, if you don't mind.
Yeah, service, yeah, yep. For that too. And before we kind of go in the future a little bit here, in terms of the UD experience, we talked about the activities here. Did you ever participate, like say, you did the Big Brothers and Big Sisters, right? You know, in the community. How did you feel like the Butte community as a whole, in terms of acceptance, within the community?
Well, you know, I on campus. Plus, I mean, plus I was also in a fraternity.
Okay, which one were you part of?
Mu Sigma Beta.
Okay.
At that time, we were the largest on campus, right?
Yeah.
So, regardless to whatever happened in the community, and I did run into some, you know, some bad elements in the community, but whatever happened.
Yeah.
To be honest with you, the university was large enough for me at the time,
uh-huh,
during that time, that I was always protected. I mean, I always had my fraternity brothers. I always had the professors at this, you know, at that time. I always had the ROTC community.
Yeah.
I always had a support base. I always had the National Guard guys who I was, you know, working with. So I was never alone. I was never isolated,
mm-hmm,
at that, you know, from that perspective.
Okay.
So, like I said, I reminisce on those days.
Uh-huh.
When I'm alone at home, and I often think of how I would do things a little differently if I was provided that opportunity to do it over again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
For that too. Well, good. And then after UD, what was kind of your vocation that you went into? Can you describe a little bit of that?
Well, let's see. After UD, I received my Army commission earlier than most.
Okay.
Went to a lot of different places. I retired 4 years ago as a lieutenant colonel promotable.
Okay.
Which meant that if I opted to stay in,
uh-huh,
I would have been promoted to full colonel. But I got married and purchased a home, and I decided to get out, spend more time with my family,
mm-hmm,
and also search for a civilian government job.
Okay.
Because of the economy got a little rougher. So I was trying to project out and be safe, you know, and be wise just a little bit.
Yeah.
So currently, I am working within the Department of Homeland Security.
Okay.
As a program management analyst.
Ah.
For promotion, hopefully, soon.
Okay.
So, you know, I'm thinking that, everything is going okay. Just received my second master's.
Where is that from?
The first one was from the University of California.
Okay.
Dominguez Hills. And the second one was from Strayer University.
Okay. And what disciplines?
Well, the first was within 19th century literature.
Okay.
And the second is a Master's of Science degree in Management, Organization, and Leadership.
Okay. Okay. And so those degrees have helped you then
Well, I mean, they helped me. I'm not sure if they helped me get a job, mm-hmm. but they helped me, you know, to do a couple of things and to think, you know, think things through a little bit.
Yeah, for that too. So how long you been with the Homeland Security?
For 4 years now.
Okay. And that's in the Washington, D.C. area, or?
Yes, it is.
Okay, for that too. Okay, and basically then, you said you recently got married, right?
Yeah.
For that too. Congratulations on that.
Oh, thank you. That was 4 years ago.
Okay. And delayed there, but so do you think the university, kind of one of the last questions here, and do you think the University of Dubuque helped you prepare for your vocations as you've been going through?
Yeah, I do. Honestly, I do. I think that, you know, good experiences or experiences that you're able to learn from, especially in my case, help prepare me. How I, you know, how other people saw me, mm-hmm. how I interface with others, helped me as a learning point. You know, because in college you can make those mistakes, and you know it's not going to affect, you know, the national economy or the,
yeah,
you know, or the nation. You know, I mean, because it's not that large of a scale, and it certainly helped me put things in perspective. You know, for example, going into a new environment, a new area, not too many people can say that. So mm-hmm. when I did join the military and I was able to branch off into other countries, you know, I mean, it wasn't something foreign to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you traveled quite a bit while you were in the military? Then?
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
Of course.
For that too.
Iraq, Afghanistan, Germany. Several times, and then a couple other places.
Okay. For that, too. In terms of, can I go back to the social piece a little bit here at UD? Did you, in terms of roommates, did you have a white, you know, Caucasian roommate, or did you have kind of a mix throughout your time? Or,
well, my first roommate, he was a black guy. His name was Carl Muhammad, and he was from the inner city of Chicago.
Okay,
but he only stayed for about a semester or so. Then he left.
Okay, yeah.
My second roommate at the time was my best friend. His name was. Galvin Coimbre. From Ponce, Puerto Rico.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Okay, and my second roommate was a white guy who was also my best friend at the time. His name was Carl Binge, and we were roommates up until the point that we both became RAs, and then, of course, we had our own room.
Yeah, yeah.
So I had a mixture of black, white, and Puerto Rican, all right, the whole rainbow.
Mm-hmm. For that too. That's kind of interesting with the Hispanic, you know, population too a little bit there. And in terms of the atmosphere, you mentioned a little bit about UD in terms of, did you feel that the culture at UD was pretty stable at the time?
Well, please keep in mind that I didn't leave campus very often. The only time I did leave was to visit New Mallory Abbey Monastery, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that was the, well, I spent time there when everyone was going home on leave or break.
Oh, I see, yeah.
You know, and stuff. So I was able to, the monks and the brothers allowed me a room there. So that's where I spent
okay.
my time when I was away from the University of Dubuque.
Yeah.
Other than the Big Brother, Little Brother sponsorship program, I really didn't venture out into the community.
Mm-hmm.
Very often.
Okay, yeah.
Other than, again, and I caveat that, other than what my National Guard time
yeah.
and my ROTC time allowed.
Okay, for that too. In terms of the campus culture, was the administration pretty supportive of, in terms of race?
Well, you know, I would think that, and forgive me, because I try not to look at race at all.
Yeah, yeah.
I try not to.
That's fine.
Because my experiences are a little bit different.
Yeah,
that regard. But I would think that those who had the opportunity to go to that place being the University of Dubuque, mm-hmm. during the same time that I was there, and either went back to wherever it is that they came from or opted not to come, they really missed out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, really missed out. During the time I went there, there were other African Americans who came from the same high school that I came.
Okay.
Right? Janice Gums was an individual, and one or two others, but along with some Caucasians, right? Greg McAdams and Sandra Rushton. But they went back, okay, because they couldn't deal or did not want to deal with the culture. Me personally, I didn't really find a difference in it because I was there for a reason.
Yeah.
And I had to keep my head in the book, so my mind was on other things.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so that helped get me through. I was very focused.
Yeah.
So, again, I didn't really pay attention to the race relations, but I will tell you that I was treated as fairly mm-hmm. as, you know, anyone else. You know, and something that doesn't happen in the real world
mm-hmm.
is that I received what I earned.
Yeah.
So what more can you ask for?
That's right. That's right. That's really important. So a lot of them came from your same high school you mentioned?
I think approximately maybe five or six of us came from the same high school.
Okay.
There was my fraternity brother named Kevin Bly. There was Tracy Patton. There was myself. There was Greg McAdams, Sandra Rushton, and maybe one or two others.
Okay. At the same time, or did they come at different times?
Well, staggered.
Okay.
Within a 3 to 4 year difference.
Okay. And what was the name of the high school again, please?
Yeah, it was called Russell's, sir. Spelled R-U-S-S-E-L-L.
Okay. And that was in Atlanta?
It was in East Point.
Oh, East Point.
East Point, Georgia. Right.
East Point, Georgia. Okay.
Yes.
So there was a UD kind of connection there.
Well, yeah. And plus, at the time, the university... of Dubuque, the recruiting strategy was different because they reached out to those areas. They don't do that anymore. Okay, but at that time they reached out to those communities down in the South and also in the West, you know, to help bring various individuals from different cultures.
Yeah.
The university.
Okay.
Which is a good thing. I'm sorry that they stopped that.
Yeah. Okay. Why I ask this, because we have another, back in the, I think, in the mid-60s, roughly, there's a very similar situation where everyone came out of this Thomasville, Georgia area. And it was kind of interesting. And so this seems like the same pattern a little bit, but a little, you know, 30 years later.
Yeah,
So it's kind of interesting, you know, the patterns.
No, I mean, wow. I mean, it's good that you were able to do your history on that.
Yeah, because that makes the story much richer, you know, that there's these connections. In terms of, let me go back to my notes real quick here. Were you saying that was your, what was the connection again that someone knew? Excuse me here, reviewing.
Well, I mean, Alex Nedis was...
Oh, that's right. Yeah, Alex, yeah.
Yeah, Alex Nedis graduated from the University of Duke. I don't know which year, but it wasn't far from Barbara Smeltzer when she graduated.
Yeah.
I mean, you can check and verify that, but he was very close to me, like a godfather to me. And out of all the other universities and West Point prep school that I was accepted at, he... sat me down and said, hey, you know, that all sounds good, but you would really prosper at the University of Dubuque. So I had to trust him,
mm-hmm.
and I'm glad I did.
Good. Yeah, we know Alex very well here at the library. He contributes a lot of different things for us, and so we appreciate his support, and also the Vietnam War Memorial, too.
Yes.
That's an important piece of our history.
He loves the university.
Oh, he does. He does. And we really appreciate his support in terms of what he does. And, yeah, we just did a Veterans Day display in November, kind of celebrating veterans over the years. And so, yeah, we really appreciate his viewpoint there. Do you have any questions for me in terms of the project? Or
No, not at all. And forgive me if I came across as abrupt. I just think that, you know, in terms of a story, that others, you know, in the area could possibly tell a better story. My story is just simple. I'm a simple guy who was provided an opportunity. And because I did not want that opportunity to go to waste, and because I knew the consequences of failure,
mm-hmm.
I was focused, and so I know that doesn't make for a good story, but you know, I did not want to you know, to screw up, you know, an opportunity for someone else who would follow in my footsteps, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and that's what each person we have talked to, we've talked to about 20 people now, roughly.
Right.
And each one, and especially your story, has kind of put the puzzle together, you know, in terms of we want, like I said, leave a legacy, but also even our current students now to understand different viewpoints throughout the years, you know, and people did make sacrifices and made choices. You know, but then they prospered, or sometimes there was negative, but there is a story, and that's what we're trying to kind of gather through these individual people, and your story too. And thank you very much. I really appreciate it.
Sir, thank you for for accepting my call, and thank you for everything that you do.
Well, thank you. I'm going to turn the recorder off real quick, and then I got a couple more things real quick here. So 1 second here.